Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the second presentation of our Manawatu U3A's 2024 seminar series on entertainment. So today's topic is up there. Live music to touch your soul. Where to get what in Palmy, and our presenter is Christine Archer-Lockwood. Christine was born in Palmerston North in a good year that I won't name. But I don't share her birthday, which is Christmas Day. She also married in the same year as I did. I married Cindy. Christine studied piano in Palmerston North with Beryl Bartlett, whom I met quite a few years ago. Some people will remember her. I interviewed her as part of my PhD research. That's the end of the parallels, except to say that I've much appreciated some of Christine's concerts here at Palmerston North. Christine studied music at Victoria University, earning an honours degree in piano performance, trained as a teacher in Wellington, and also studied music therapy at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London, and then again at Massey University in Wellington. She's worked in a wide range of music-related fields as a primary school teacher, as a music therapist in special education, in early intervention and private practice, and as a chamber musician, accompanist, piano teacher, music director, and conductor of choirs and orchestras. Christine served as a music arranger for several shows while living in Switzerland, and in 2017 came back to Palmerston North, where Christine is currently the music director of the Renaissance Singers, who, by the way, have a concert coming up at Pathways St Andrews on the 18th. And even sooner, Christine will be convening a concert on the theme of celebrating New Zealand music on the 13th of May under the auspices of Music Aviva at Square Edge. As some of you will know, this is New Zealand Music Month, and a number of musical events are scheduled over the next few weeks. Well, as you can hear, I've already begun to answer some of Christine's questions about where you can find music to touch the soul here in Palmy, so it's time I hand it over. Please welcome Christine Archer-Lockwood.
Thank you. Can I? Yes, am I on? All right. Thank you. Tēnā koutou. Ka mihi aho ki au rangatāne. Tēnā koutou katoa. Ko waiau, he huri aho no ngā pui. He Pākehā hoki o. Ko Christine Archer-Lockwood, tōku ingoa. Tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you just for the for the introduction. He's taken a few of my paragraphs, but now you know who I am. We'll move on to the important bits. But thank you for the invitation to be Stuart today, and it's good to be here with you all. So, live music to touch your soul, where to get what in Palmerston North, and you did mention Palmy, so I can officially now say that if because I know it's sometimes a sore point still amongst a lot of Palmerstonians. So as if you hear Palmy, and it say into your head, transfer it to Palmerston North, and be calm, please. So I'm probably talking to the converted here, because the fact that you're here at U3A, you get yourselves out and about, and you support the community events going on. So quite a few of the things you may attend, but I'm thinking there may be a couple of things you may not know about. So we've all had experiences of when we felt good, listening to live music, dancing to music, singing, playing music, from when you were a child, a teenager, as an adult, and as a more mature adult, as we all are here, we can still get this feel-good buzz. And my question is, are we taking the live music opportunities that we have here in Palmy, are we taking them on board to get that buzz that we know so well from our past? And by the end of the session, I hope that you may be inspired to go out and seek some of these things I mentioned. And why? Why do I ask that of you? Because going to an event does something to us. It's a sensory experience, and it moves us in a good or bad way, or maybe a bit of both. But in all cases, there is a change in energy. Experiencing new things enriches our lives, not just for ourselves, but by sharing live events with others, we have a common connection for discussion, for critiquing, and the energy from being at a concert often goes beyond the concert itself. It goes back into the home, over the dinner table, over a coffee, or even just to the foyer after the event. And this happens here. A U3A, you have someone coming and talking to you, and it brings a connection between you. So we know it's healthy, this sort of experience. It's probably a very obvious thing to say to you all. And I've always said that one doesn't need drugs to get a high. One can get a buzz from making music or being an active listener of a live performance. And I want to stress here that one does not have to be a musician to enjoy music and get that buzz. In fact, I was wondering where the studies are, and I didn't get time to look this up, on difference between receiving music on the radio and TV versus coming to a live performance. I'd love to know what the studies are on that. As far as, we've got them going already. Chris is going to write it down.
I'm going to turn my phone off.
Right. Okay. So I think that would be a really interesting... I mean, I know what I would say. From my personal experience, I get a lot more out of a live performance. My body and my soul gets a lot more. So my background. Let's see if I can work this. Now, that was listed a few, I think, most of those things. Yes, I'm a pianist. I'm a teacher, music therapist, music tech director, and a conductor. And as you heard, I was born here in Papoea and left at the end of school, never expecting to return to Palmy, but I did some 43 years later in 2017. And since then, I've been constantly amazed at what's going on here, often under the radar, and that's not in the illegal sense. But somehow I seem to have got myself involved in several of these happenings. I see myself as a community musician, but not that it's all about me. It's about, yes, I have training in these areas, and I have a certain skill set that I know I can bring to the community. Whether it's the people who are with me in these experiences, It is the people who are with me in these experiences, whether it's the instrumentalists and singers I accompany as a pianist, whether it's the students I teach, whether it's my music therapy clients, whether it's the cast and crew of a production that I'm music director of, or whether it's the singers in my choirs. And all these collaborations of music making, or musicking, it's another word we call this, musicking, it nurtures growth of some sort. Growth in developing new skills, enhancing social connectedness, providing a sense of purpose. And it's up to me, I feel my responsibility in each of these cases to ensure that my approach creates a sense of fun in the process, so that collaboration is also about one's health and well-being. And these experiences are the feel-good things. I have to say, in my busy life, I can say that I love everything I do. There's just not enough hours in the day to do it all. But as a pianist, let's go through some things that I've been involved in since being back in Palmy. Do you know about the Globe Sunday matinee series? Oh, I've got some nodding, some shaking their heads. So the Globe Sunday matinee series, it was set up, I'm not sure who originally set it up, but I know Guy Donaldson has been involved leading it for many, many later years. I think it started off, and you people that can correct me, remember I have not had an adult life in Palmerston North. I came back in my 60s, okay? So I've got this huge gap from school there. So you're the people that can fill me in. I believe it started off with the Sunday afternoon concerts at the Art Gallery.
Yeah.
And it grew, and by the wonderful community presence there, it grew, and they now have it at the Globe on a Sunday afternoon once a month. Different Sundays in each month depending on the artist's availability. Basically, it's free. They say koha, $5 at the door. It's an hour long, or an hour to an hour 10 minutes. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to go and hear quality musicians, often local musicians, But we also get people from Wellington and beyond. And just to say that the next one is coming up. And can I just say, when I talk about things, I've left some flyers over on the table. So as I talk, I'll just hold up something which you can't read, don't worry. But it's just saying there is a flyer at the table you may like to collect later. So, for example, they've just had a concert, but the next one to watch out for at the end of May is Hae-yun Violin with Guy Donaldson on piano. And Hae-yun, she's the leader of Manawatu Sinfonia. So you've seen it, they've just had an amazing concert. I'm not saying that just because I was involved in it. I'm saying last Sunday, I was actually playing the harp part on the keyboard, pushed a button and it became a harp for all this beautiful French music. But she's the most beautiful violinist. She's the leader of our symphonia, and you'll hear her playing solo. Guy Donaldson, so that's an opportunity to support. But that's keep an eye out for those. Now, the information from that is on the What's On, the Globe. You can just put in Globe in, on your computer or have a flyer. You can pick up at the Globe. And on the other side, of course, is everything else that's on at the Globe. But I just wanted to highlight the Globe Sunday Matinee series. It's set up for everyone here. Okay?
Do you want to put in Globe Palmerston North?
Globe Palmerston North. Sure. Otherwise, you'll be getting all sorts. Yes. Actually, you just need to put Globe Palmy, I have to tell you. It's shorter, it takes less time. So that's the first one. And the next one, do you know about Musica Viva Manawatu? We're coming up to our centenary. And I say we because I'm quite involved now, being on the committee and things. This, basically this is the Music Society of Manawatu. So it started off, and I think it was just a ladies group way back. We'll be getting the whole fold of the history. Back in 1925, because we've got a centenary coming up next year. 1925, it started as a music club. And in fact, I think there were two music clubs that combined, and then became, some people might remember, the Dorian Club. I remember playing at that as a child, coming through Palmerston North. So for some reason, I was asked to play. And Dorian Club, and it's now called Musica Viva Manawatu. Again, there is a flyer to pick up every month. Every month at Square Edge, we have local musicians. The idea of this club was to keep people like myself and playing and performing. Right? So often you go through school and you play the piano or play, have an instrument, play it in the orchestra, and then it stops, all right? But this is an idea to keep going. Nothing competitive, very, very supportive audience. And again, for a very minimal price, you can come along and enjoy some fine, fine musicians. And the one thing that Musica Viva does is has a young person scholarship. It's a quite substantial amount. And we have that every year, and they have a competition in October, which is open to the public to hear these youngsters, and we've got some amazing youngsters in our community, really, really high standard, beautiful musicians. And then there's a gala concert of the finalists, because there's prizes in instrumental, vocal, and piano, separate ones. But part of when they apply to go for the scholarship, one of the things they have to do over the year is to perform on one of these Monday evenings. So every Monday evening concert, you'll get three or four young musicians, and I'm talking older teenagers, high school students usually, who present something, one piece. So people who play at these concerts, they just present one piece or one movement of the piece, okay? We're not usually getting full sonatas or anything like that. It's really to encourage the audience to keep enjoying music and for people to perform. So this is Musica Viva Manoa 2. I just want to talk about... Right, this is what Chris mentioned, May, New Zealand Music Month, and I'm actually the convener of the next Monday night's program, and because I love promoting new music, because I think we are in the 21st century and we need to, you know, be excited by new things around us, I've called it Celebrating New Zealand Music, and I grab that month each year because I like having that subject to support. Can I just highlight three premieres? We've got a young viola player who's just finished school. This is a gap year for her. She has composed, well, I haven't heard it yet, but that's going to be exciting, a piece for viola, and her teacher is playing the violin. She wanted to say a farewell present for her teacher, who actually is a teacher, Liz Patchett, comes up from the NZSO to teach violin students here. Unfortunately, with the advanced standards of these students, we haven't got the teachers here in Palmerston North, and we have some coming from the NZSO, New Zealand Symphony Orchestra teachings, strings. So she's written a piece, and you'll see this article in The Guardian, if you pick this up this week, there's an article on this young composer. But she's playing her piece as well as composed it. There's another, Nick Hunter, the music teacher in Palmerston North. He's composed, it's actually a three-movement piano sonata. He's performing it. I'm quite pleased because he actually composes very difficult music, so I'm glad he's performing and not throwing it to me. And I have said to him, because it is three movements, this is what Musica Viva is about. We're supporting something new. Where else is he going to get the chance with an audience? I said, please perform all three movements. It's a 12-minute piece. And then we have another one for bass flute. You've never heard of bass flute. It's gorgeous. The tone is like the bottom of the sea. It just gets in the body. Bass flute with Shelley Alexander singing. Now, Shelley Alexander is the new minister of Pathways at St Andrews. So again, the wonderful thing about Musica Viva is we're all amateurs. We've got our other professions. We've all come together, keep our music going, and keep playing for each other. So that's Musica Viva. There's a brochure, and it tells you what's on for the next months and what the dates are, Monday evening. So for some of you, that may be two things already that you may not know about. Okay, the next one, lunchtime concerts. There are some wonderful lunchtime concerts going on. And I've got one here, a brochure of lunchtime concerts. This is at Pathways St Andrews. And they alternate once a month. Oh, this was going to be on this slide. Wednesday lunchtimes. Wednesday lunchtimes. These lunchtime concerts are just half an hour. Just half an hour. Free lunchtime concerts. Walk in. You can take your lunch. You can have a cup of tea there. You don't have to, but that's offering. And every second month, Roy Tanksley plays. He gives an organ recital, or someone gives an organ recital. So every second month it's organ, and the other months different instruments. And I'm playing with a flautist coming up sometime, October, I think. Might be earlier. Might be July. I have to look at my diary. So that's one. And St. Peter's is the other. St. Peter's Church. They're on the first Tuesday of every month. First Tuesday, again, 12:15 to 12:45. And sometimes they're the young musicians, playing for half an hour. So that's, have you heard about those lunchtime concerts around the place? Good. But they are really worth supporting. And it's a nice break. So, alright, that's fine, thank you. How can you be involved? Now it's very obvious, you can be involved in the things that I've mentioned by being an audience member. And I just wanted to say, you know, we work passionately with our craft. I'm a person who loves practicing, so it's not a chore for me. So we're very passionate, and we love sharing what we do. And as an audience member, you receive this, and then you share back. And this is obvious, of course, you share your experience with others, you give feedback to the artists. And the words that just came to mind when I was thinking about this is, you know, you get inspired about something, you might want to go home and look up the artist or the composer or find out a bit more. It's very motivating for the musician to go and extend themselves in some other way. They might find someone wants to collaborate with them. There's obviously the socialising aspect, and we gain knowledge through all these experiences. So as I say, everyone gains from this cyclic nature of live performance, and I think becoming a participant to those, even as an audience member, you're part of this feel-good cycle. Now, I missed Rachel's, I couldn't because I had something else on last week, her speech, but I heard the question time, and then someone was sitting, I think, right where you are, Stuart, and mentioned we're actually performers. Who was that? Was that you? You actually, yes, you mentioned.
I'm Brian Collis, yes.
Hello. You mentioned something about we're actually performers. Did you mean as the listener?
I meant there's all these things going on, but yeah. In a town of this size, you often find you're in it.
Aha, right. I wanted to add to words that performer, that you're a participant, you know, you really are involved in the cycle. You know, we need audiences to share our craft. So I want you to know that you're really, really important for us to keep going and keep being inspired and motivated to continue. Now, I just wanted to go where to find what these are, some obvious things. Guardian Standard. Did you know about Club Sandwich?
Yep.
Oh, some people are surprised. What is Club Sandwich? Palmerston North City Council has a list of things called, you know, the what's on in Palmerston North. And they came up with a really neat title that would be catchy and you'd all know what it means. It's called Club Sandwich. If you just look up Club Sandwich Palmy, and you've got everything. It's not just music. Everything that's going on in Palmy. I actually want to go and I don't know if anyone's in here involved in the organisation because I'm finding it, I thought I'd check it out and try and see what I could find. Found a little bit confusing, but I did find a wonderful Brazilian percussion group in Palmerston North. Brazilian, I mean, that gets me really excited and I want to go and see what they're about. Playing samba. It's apparently called Samba ao Vento Brazilian. Everyone's looking blank. That's here in Palmerston North. There's a group here. They've got energy. They're, you know, they're getting a thrill out of coming together and playing their drums and the sambas and all the music. I'm going to go along and see what it's about. I can't remember what day it is, but you'll find these sorts of things in Club Sandwich. You won't forget that name now, will you? Club Sandwich. There we go. One of the things, obviously you can find these things by just looking up, Googling their names, but I haven't put up there. On Stage used to be called the Savage Club. The Savage Club is now called On Stage. A little bit like Music and Viv, they meet once a month. So I haven't put up Country Music Club, which is very strong here in the area. Someone said to me today, I didn't put up the Boat Club. And there's another one. You've probably got more there.
Jazz is coming.
I've got that on a slide. And I actually was coming back today down Featherston Street. And I saw a whole lot of people coming out. And I think it's today, is it Opportunity. Opportunity, which I haven't been to yet. But I get, you know, it's got a really good following here. And I hear from people saying, I've just been to, and you can feel the excitement in their bodies. I've just been to this Opportunity. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out for these. Apparently it's a touring group that go around to all the centres, not just the big centres, you know, but the next size, us. And it gives people a lot of you know, great energy, great entertainment, and singing a lot of songs that you know, the old songs. Right, here we go. Ooh, I'm going to run. Manawatu Jazz Club. It's very active in the city, and again, I've got flyers about that. One thing I want, they have monthly club nights, second Sunday, 5 to 7pm, Willowbank Tavern. Again, go and enjoy and listen to local jazz, and they get invited guests too. So that's a jazz club. I'm just going to move on. They also have a weekly jazz cafe. It's every Thursday night, 6 to 8. It has now recently moved to Akabar. Lovely setting. Go and have a meal, go and have a drink, take a friend. 6 to 8, and again, the weekly jazz cafe. I've got a brochure on that. Yeah, I've got brochures on the weekly. No, I haven't got a brochure on who's on there, sorry, each week, but they have different bands on each week. Really fun. And then jazz festival's coming up. It's always been Queen's Birthday Weekend, now King's Birthday Weekend. But what I want to tell you about, if you don't go to the main events, is there's a cafe scene. So there are several cafes in Palmerston North that just have these wonderful artists playing. It's free. It's free. Just go and have a cuppa and listen to some jazz. Again, there's a leaflet that's coming up, and that tells you who's playing. It's a yellow leaflet, and it's over there. Who's playing where in Palmerston North? Little Savannah has had people. Murray's Irish Bar. The Strong Room. You find new places around, don't you? So that's also available. Now, very quickly, I just want to say, Saturday morning music, I know it's for students. All these things are offering, and all the instruments and things in Palmerston North, it's at the Palmerston North Intermediate School. But you might, this is again how you can be involved as a supporter of your nieces, nephews, grandchildren, whatever, learning an instrument, going along to whatever they've got happening. They've got 350 enrolments this year. That's how many students are going through these centres. It's wonderful. And the people that I'm working now, young adults and things, they all started off here. A lot of them started off here. Wonderful setup. So this is, even though you may not get involved, you might think, my grandchild, that's something they might want to do. It's here in Palmerston North. Group sessions, very reasonable price because it's a group session. We want to get children involved. High school productions, they're not just open to the students and their parents, they're there for us. They're fabulous, absolutely fabulous. The talent, and it's not just the singing and the dancing. The set designs, they're getting the students involved with, you know, and all the technology. And of course, now you get these projections as well. Palmerston North Boys High and Girls High have just done Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And you could have gone along with your grandchildren. No, just keep an eye out. They're all available for us. Okay, choirs in the city. I might have missed some out. You'll probably know a lot about all those people. The one that I was interested in was 6 to 60 at the bottom, and I went, 6 to 60, I'm talking to retired people. Now, how can I put that up there? And I want to question the person taking it, because I'm wondering, because I know families go to this, 66. It's they once, every week on a Monday night, can just go along and sing. And I just thought, if you want to take your grandchild, I'm sure you'll be allowed to go along and sing. Yes?
They would be most welcome when you do.
Oh, great. So you don't, 60 is not the defining.
Forget the numbers.
Okay, forget the numbers.
Preschool.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Okay. Okay, so, yes. 60 to 100. Let's go. We can, but I'm saying it's there to have a good sing. There's a lot going on. As a conductor now, I am going to just mention a little bit about Renaissance singers. I became conductor, I was very fortunate to get the job 2019. It's a treat, it's an absolute treat and a privilege to have a group of wonderful singers. The thing again I want to say I'm offering to you is that I always have something by a New Zealand composer in the programs, because I really believe in promoting New Zealand works. if not Palmerston North composers. And I'm always looking for new and different ways of presenting things to keep the audience, keep my choir interested in singing, keep the audience interested in coming along. I had one recently, well, it was last year, choir and percussion, and it wasn't all bang crash stuff. We had over 20 percussion instruments along the back. We raised them all up so you could see everything. Four or five percussionists who were basically had a choreographed dance between all the instruments, all the marimbas and things and the big gongs. And we had these different pieces of soundscapes. And I had people who had never been along to a choir concert before saying, wow, you know, I mean, I remember this farmer who came along, and I'm saying that because his wife dragged him along. They were actually given complimentary tickets because they had done something for us in the build-up to it. And so he came along reluctantly and said afterwards that, wow, you know, it was something totally new, never experienced before. Don't be afraid of experiencing something new, okay? Even if you go, okay, you like some but not the other, but that's all part of becoming discerning about what you like and don't like, and that's healthy in itself. Another thing we have, we run our scholarship too for young singers. These two fine young men have just joined the choir this year, and they have won a scholarship, so they get free membership. They get $500 each, and they are going to be singing in our next three concerts. So the one on the left, Dan Hodgetts, he's in New Zealand Voices, and I'm really thrilled that we've got, you know, there's a choir here now. Keep him singing in Palmerston North. He's got some solos in my next concert. And the young man on the right, Axis Simon, he's in New Zealand's, they call it the, just look at my notes, I've just forgotten the name, sorry, the Academy Choir, which is the, like the training choir before sort of Voices and New Zealand Youth Choir. So both of them are actually also raising money to, they've got some tours coming up in their choirs. But it's just great having them with us.
And that's Mr. Gibb with them.
I shouldn't forget Robert Gibb, who is instrumental in getting all these. He's our president and the most amazing, amazing person to make things happen for us. So very privileged. Can I just briefly talk about my next concert coming up? I'm unashamedly selling this, not selling it, but promoting it. Again, there are flyers and posters. Partly because I wanted something new again. What could we do? And I said, I knew Matthew Marshall, one of New Zealand's leading classical guitarists. And I said to him, Matthew, have you ever done any stuff with anything with choral stuff? He said, oh, I've got some amazing Spanish music. So we're doing a Spanish song cycle with obviously Spanish guitar. And I said, right. And I went to Anthony Ritchie, one of New Zealand's leading composers who I know. And I said, Anthony, what have you got for choral and guitar? He said, I've got this beautiful piece for women's voices and harp. I'll transfer it to women's voices and guitar. So that's one piece. He said, let's do a new piece. He said, right, we need text, Christine. I need song. You've got to sing something. And I said, right, we need a local poet, a local theme. I'm in Palmerston North, Manawatu, local poet, local theme, and I'd like students involved, something new. So what's come out of this? An ex-Renaissance singer, published poet, her name is Anne French. She now has now moved from the area down the coast, but still has big connection with Palmerston North. She wrote this beautiful poem, and I said a local theme. We chose the Godwit's Journey from the Foxton Estuary. And the poem is beautiful. The composer was delighted. He composed his most beautiful piece. We're also using the local, the iwi. We've got a kia ora kamata. We're going to get karanga, welcoming the birds coming onto shore. And We also have, along with Matthew Marshall playing, we've got 8 young guitarists and a guitar ensemble, as well as the choir. So we've got choir, the guitar ensemble, Matthew Marshall. That's just one 20-minute piece. There are some other, just with Matthew Marshall on the other ones, with some exciting Spanish music and other things. So that's up and about there.
It's a beautiful poster.
Isn't it? Oh, excuse me. Robert Gibb, we just talked about, those are his photos. He is an avid photographer, and Anne French herself has a great connection through her love of the sea and sailing and on conservation and things. So the collaboration has been absolutely wonderful through this project. It would be lovely to have support for that concert. Now, looking ahead, what have I got next? Oh, there's Matthew Marshall. Sorry, that was in a workshop, just to tell you, that's what he looks like. So he's our guitarist. I mightn't stay too long with this, just looking at the time. Just looking ahead, it's something, again, as I said, I haven't got enough hours in my day, but I'm just something I started when I was living overseas. I was living in Basel for 12 years, Basel, Switzerland, and I found, because it was a very expat community, a lot of people came with their jobs to Basel. It was huge in the pharmaceutical industry, but they had their instruments that they still played, you know, string instruments, whatever. So we started little chamber music groups of just people coming into each other's home, playing, not for performing, but just getting out the repertoire and having a trio or a quartet. And so we made up a list of people who were still playing or wanted to still play their instruments. We said, are you a beginner? Are you intermediate, advanced? And you could just group in, you'd bring someone up, do you want to just play this? And every now and then we'd have a little soiree just to share within the group. Not even family were allowed to come along, you know, because we didn't want to do a performance concern thing, but to keep people playing. And I'm wondering if there are people, you don't have to raise your hand, in the room here, who would love to get their instrument out again and have a little go. Or if you know of people, because it's something, it gave us all so much pleasure. It was just, there was no money involved, it was purely getting, and we called it Chamber Music Circle Basel. So I thought, do we want a Chamber Music Circle Palmy? I'm just going to throw it out there. Just throw it out there. And the other thing I got, we just used to have a Friday afternoon sing in my apartment. Just groups of group of people used to come in and just sing. I don't need to go any further than that, but just if you're inclined in that way, it's amazing. Just doing a little with a few friends, or whether it's music appreciation, listening to music together, sharing something, it does something for us, for everyone there. Now, one thing, music therapy. Looking at the time.
You're fine.
This is my passion. So I haven't even got to what I really believe that I have studied and been very passionate about in my career. Now, many of you may know Morva Cropson. Dear Morva was very instrumental. She's quite frail now, but she's still with us strongly in her thoughts. And she really has helped place music therapy on the map in New Zealand. She trained at the Guildhall where I trained. I trained as a young student, and then she came in later as an adult student training. So what is music therapy? If you just think of art therapy, what do you use for art therapy? You use your paints, your craft things, your brushes, your whatever it is. You use the craft to help in the therapeutic process. If you're dance therapy, you're using movement. You know. Music therapy uses the tools of music in a therapeutic process. It's planned, it's useful. I'm very aware of what the instruments I'm using, what sounds that they, what, how can be used in a therapeutic environment. The music activity might be singing, moving, dancing, playing, listening. We use the parameters of music. We use the pitch. We all know how we're affected by pitch. We know how we're affected by volume. We know how we're affected by the timbre of an instrument. And it's up to me to find that combination that is going to work in the environment and the process as a music therapist. Who is music therapy for? Anyone. I mean, it can evolve with all of us. We know maybe when we're feeling stressed, we might want to put on some calming music. But working with people with developmental delays, working with people with communication disorders or speech and language difficulties, social emotional difficulties, physical difficulties, ranging from children through to the elderly, through to dementia, etc., through to recoveries from head injuries, etc., etc. And I've worked in all these areas in some capacity. The main thing, if I can stress on music therapy, is we're not dealing with the musician part of an individual. We're not trying to create or better musical skills. That's music education. Okay, that's the difference. That's music education. Music therapy is looking at the health needs of the individual or the group we're working with, and you're using music as the motivating tool to promote better health. Okay, so it's very distinctive difference there. So my training, you heard I've come through Victoria University from the music side, then I went to London at the Guildhall, and then I came back and did a master's in music therapy. Worked in special education, etc. Pukatero, I don't know if you know, was part of Porirua. That was the first place in the health department that had a music therapy position. So I was the first registered music therapist in New Zealand. So it was all pioneering days. There was no music therapy as such here. No one knew about music therapy as such. So it was tough setting up, which is why I went into special education. I was able to be employed as a teacher because I had that training. And then I gradually got, you know, music therapy in wherever I could. That's how it all started. I was going to tell you a couple of, that's all right, I'm just going to, so that's the idea of the music therapy. One little thing, I don't say little thing, don't know if you've heard of Silo here. This is what here in Palmerston North. SILO stands for Sing Your Lungs Out. When I came back in 2017, I thought I was going to go back to Wellington, where I left. Houses were too expensive for me at the time and my budget. But I went along, a friend was doing these SILO sessions, and I went, wow, this is amazing. And I ended up moving to Palmerston North and said, I must set something up. So I set it up we started October 2017. For people with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. And basically, I don't mean basically, very importantly, singing encourages healthy breathing patterns. Now, if you can imagine, if you've got a respiratory disorder and you're trying to catch your breath all the time and it's all up here and it's really exhausting and tiring. And what we need to do is to breathe out slowly. Breathe out slowly and settle your breath. And let the air fill in naturally and then breathe out slowly again. So we shouldn't have to think and talk about breathing in. It happens naturally if we've breathed out, if we've breathed out fully, because we naturally, open our mouth, our surprise, the air fills in naturally. And you relax everything that you've had been previously very tense. Guess what? You can only sing on the outward breath. You can only sing on the outward breath. So guess what? Choose your favourite song, sing along, and you're doing this beautiful breathing as you sing along your phrase, okay? Simple. That's all we do. We have fun singing. I must admit we do a little bit of exercise first. So I lead the session along with our respiratory physio, our lovely Sarah Dixon. Again, I've got some silo flyers. If you know of anyone who's struggling with breathing or has a breathing difficulty, it's not just asthma, it's really the COPD. In fact, I was talking to my doctor today. She's taken a few more flyers. She keeps giving us some wonderful new people come along. So I just want to say that that's doing a huge amount for these people, not just singing. And the thing is, I ask them, what songs do you want to sing? And what it does, when we have a coffee afterwards, they're still talking about, oh, do you remember this song? And what about this one? It's stimulating them. All right, they go. A lot of them are on their own at home. It's a highlight for them. Every week they get out and they come and have a good sing. The reason why it's 12 to 1, which sounds a crazy time, on a Thursday, is we have a pulmonary rehab group just before that. And a pulmonary rehab group is the Leisure Centre in Palmerston North. Leisure Centre's by the recycling place in Ferguson Street. And there's a pulmonary group afterwards at 1 o'clock. So we've got captured our audience already, and they just have a cuppa and come through the next door, you know, in the same place. They don't have to go home and come out again because it's very exhausting for a lot of them. So that is, can I just say, it's more than just singing. The company has been huge. When it started out in Wellington, the person started, I knew, as a musician. She was a respiratory physician, so she researched it from when they started Silo. And it actually got written up in the British Medical Journal. So this bit of research from New Zealand, from Wellington, was written up under the name of Silo, the British Medical Journal. And they found out we're not curing anything. We're not curing the difficulties. But we're helping, through singing, it's helping our people to manage things better when they're feeling stressed, to know how to breathe out quietly, and just thinking of a song that they enjoy just to help settle their breathing. And I have so much anecdotal evidence on a similar line. But the social factor was huge. The feel-good factor was absolutely huge, and it shot up, as you can imagine. It's important. It's really, really important for our lives. Can I tell you that one of our members at the moment, he's on dialysis several times a week, he made sure that his dialysis sessions did not come in at the same time as our Silo sessions. He told me right then, he was utterly shattered with the diagnosis, but he said, it's not going to stop me coming to Silo. And that's the attitude of the group. Not only is the group coming together, they said, we want to share this with others. And they've said, and we've sung at some of the lunchtime concerts. We've been to St. Peter's, and we sat in a little lunchtime concert. Well, the pride on their faces. You know, they need to sit down. They can't stand up and sing. I'm sorry I'm saying they, we should be saying we, but I'm saying this wonderful group, they just felt, my goodness, we performed. At our stage, at our health stage, we've just got up and we've shared what we love doing, and that's singing. We will be going, we'll be doing that again this year. We've sung at other places. We've just been to Olive Tree, we've been to Pepper Tree, and the residents have enjoyed seeing their peers getting up and singing. I want to just move on. Little Stars. Little Stars, this is very, very new. Not many people know about this in Palmy, and this is wearing my music therapy hat. When I came to Palmy and Dear Morva had retired from things, nothing was happening here in music therapy. What I haven't talked to you about is my main job in Wellington. I helped set up the Wellington Early Intervention Trust back in 1991, so that's, what, 33 years ago. What we were struggling with in Wellington at the time were these families with children born with multiple special needs were struggling. They weren't getting the help. I've come to Palmerston North 33 years later. It's still happening here. And the families are asking the same questions that I was fighting for way back then. And I was determined to get something going, and I felt very alone doing this. The Wellington Early Intervention Trust is thriving. It's meeting the needs of families. It's a group therapy session where you have under the same roof the physio, the speech-language therapist, etc., and the music therapist. We're under the same roof. The families come in once a week. They get all the therapies once a week. The family is the centre of the therapeutic intervention, not just the child away from the family. Really important stuff. It's my total passion. I've now come across some like-minded people, and in fact, before I met them, a grandmother figure in the community who has adopted a young lad with Kreidler-Shah, which is a syndrome with multiple developmental delays, who is now around 2021. She won't mind me speaking about this because there's a television program coming up on this as well. A grandchild with multiple disabilities, and she said, "I do not want my grandchild not having the services that they just didn't get the support." And they started setting up Little Stars. And I read about it in The Guardian. I thought, oh my goodness, it started here in Palmerston North. And they have got, a list got longer and longer, but we don't have the therapists here yet to cope with it. So it's the chicken and egg situation. It's growing. We're looking for occupational therapists, pediatric physios, pediatric speech-language therapists, etc., and we want to come together. We've just got a building at the moment, and I'm just saying, watch this space. It's very new, but what I want to say, because I know I'm really coming up to the end, is how can you be involved? How can you be involved? First of all, though, Little Stars apparently on TV Channel 1 on the Sunday, 12th of May. That's the Sunday. On something called Attitude. I don't know. I don't have time to watch TV. Sorry. but there's going to be something on there. But again, we talked about you can be involved as an audience. I'm going to say as a participant with some of these things I've mentioned. You become a member of or a friend of, or you can volunteer for helping. You know, you actually get a kick out of being amongst artists. You really do. You know, amongst these creatives is the latest word, isn't it? Being amongst creatives gives you a buzz. And the other thing, and again, I'm not going to be shy about saying this, we need support financially too. Not just financially as far as the money goes, but if you've got skills and knowing how to fundraise, you know, or if you know of people who are just recently retired or something, they want to know, how can we put things back in the community? You know, I'm a practitioner. I need someone to help me know how to fundraise, because everything I do involves fundraising to keep us going. But the Little Stars, I'm very passionate. I want to see that as my legacy for this area. But we're at the beginning point of it. So if anyone's sitting here thinking, we know of people or have got access to anyone from the business side of things, from the therapeutic side, please come and talk to me. It is something that Manawatuki absolutely need, and the families are crying out for help. And I know the research. I did my master's on it. The research is the earlier the better for therapeutic intervention. The more regular and intensive the therapies, the holistic, all the therapies together, the better the outcome for the state financially. I can tell you from experience with my early intervention children, 0 to 6, going off to school with their best potential started already on those early years. So that's my goal, to set something. Watch the space, see if I can stand up to you in a few years' time to see that it's actually happening. But I needed to let you know that's we need it in the community, and I hope we can get like-minded people eager to help us there. So I'm just going to say, finish off with live music to touch your soul, where to get in Palmerston North. I've given you some ideas. I've given you some ways that you can be involved as a participant or an audience member. Be part of this feel-good circle. Okay, thank you very much.